Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In his Prolegomena to Any Future Metaphysics, in part one, which is the first part of the main transcendental question, how is pure mathematics possible? Immanuel Kant is going to answer that question by telling us that mathematics rests on what he calls pure as opposed to empirical a priori intuitions, Anschauungen in German. And so a priori means that they are prior to any experience, and so don't require anything experiential. And how is this going to be possible? Well, he tells us in paragraph or section 9 that these contain nothing but the form of sensibility, this kind of intuition, and that they precede actual impressions. And so how should we understand this? It means not only that are these a priori intuitions going to have absolute certainty and necessity, another term that Kant uses is that they're apodeictic, right? But that they are the condition for the possibility. That's what's enclosed in this preceding. They're the condition for the possibility of having any of the kind of intuitions that we're much more familiar with, those of the senses. So, for example, if I'm looking at my hand and my eyeballs are staring at it and taking it in, well, that's a sensible intuition. And we could, you know, break it down. We could say, well, each finger gets an intuition, the hand as a whole does. We don't have to worry about all of that complexity at this point. The main thing that Kant is stressing with this is that mathematics is accessing some sort of intuition that is not merely empirical. And why is this important? Because if it was merely empirical, then mathematics wouldn't have the kind of a priori necessity that it in fact has. So in section 10, he's going to move on and he tells us, accordingly, it's only the form of sensuous intuition by which we can intuit things. And here he's using the term Dinge, and we'll get to why this matters in a moment, a priori. And then he says, but by which we can know objects only as they appear to us, that is, to our senses. So a few things. Form is quite literally in German, form, right? And we could say that, you know, the correlatives here are form, the a priori, and content, the experiential, empirical, a posteriori, if we want to use the Latin term for that. So, you know, we've got an important contrast going on here. Now, things, instead of just saying matters or just using some sort of, pronoun that would refer to things. He's actually saying things. And this is, kind of an important thing to notice, pun intended there, because the things are what we ultimately do into it. And time and space are not actually things themselves. They are the condition for the possibility of grasping things through the senses. And so we come back to this. We don't grasp the things as they are in themselves, an sich selbst, right? So the thing in itself is a very important Kantian notion that we're going to talk about, a bit later. But this is kind of, it's saying, listen, this form of sensuous intuition doesn't give us the things as they are in themselves, only as objects appear to us. They're erscheinen in this case. And he's going to use this word a lot. Schein is illusion. Erscheinung, appearance, appearing. We can only know objects, Gegenstände, the things that we think are out there, insofar as they appear to our senses. And he says, this assumption is absolutely necessary if we're going to grant synthetic propositions a priori, which is what mathematics works with, or if there are possibilities to be conceived and determined beforehand. So That's a pretty important point. He also tells us something that might appear a bit of a digression, but is also pretty important. He says, the intuitions, which pure mathematics lays at the foundation of all of its cognitions, erkenntnis, right, and judgments, urteile, which appear at once apodeictic and necessary, are what? Space and time. And then he goes on and he says, mathematics must first present, that's darstellen, all of its concepts in intuition, and pure mathematics in pure intuition. Therefore, it must construct its concepts, construieren. So this is a clarification, a determination here. Mathematics doesn't just present or set into place in front of us its concepts, its Begriffe. It actually constructs these concepts. And he goes on and he says, if it proceeded in any other way, it would be impossible to make a single step, because mathematics proceeds not analytically by dissection of concepts, as we saw discussed earlier in the preamble, right, where he's discussing the possibility of what pure mathematics would be and what it in fact is. It is a synthetic discipline. It is a synthetic activity. True, it uses analytic statements, judgments, whatever we want to call them, cognitions, but those are helpers. Those are not the main show, so to speak. And so it constructs these synthetically. Now, he doesn't actually say, you know, or unpack what this means, but let's remind ourselves that for Kant, why is it important that, say, pure mathematics or metaphysics, once metaphysics actually happens, that these are synthetic? Because synthetic judgments, cognitions, those advance our knowledge. They reveal to us something that is additional to, in the predicate, what is contained in the subject. We learn something new. So this is quite important. So what are these intuitions? We've already mentioned time and space. These are, we intuit, the forms of having other sensuous intuitions. And Kant is going to tell us here how this works. He says that geometry is based on the pure intuition of space. And he'll give us some examples of this a little bit later on in this section and in the first remark. So geometry is based on how it is that we human beings grasp objects in relation to each other in this vast field that we think we're moving around in called space. And space is not like a container, and space is not something in the objects. Space is rather the condition for the possibility of having these objects in the first place. Geometry is a little bit more formal than just, you know, perceiving things on our part. Geometry, you could think of as being a discipline which is uncovering to us what space as a form of intuition actually is. Just so happens that it's going to nicely coincide with the rest of mathematics and be Euclidean. There's a lot to say here. Arithmetic, now this is where it might get a little bit more controversial for us. He says, arithmetic attains its concepts of numbers by the successive addition of units in time. So whereas geometry is basing itself on the pure intuition of space as the condition for the possibility of sensible intuitions of spatial objects in relation to each other, arithmetic is based on counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, right? And it's not based on using your fingers or writing something on a chalkboard or something like that. It's based ultimately on time, on successive addition of units in time. So not time per se, but something specific about time, the fact that we do have units, we can count them off and add them up and all that. And then he talks about pure mechanics attains its concepts of motion only by employing the representation of time. And we could think of pure mechanics as actually also involving space, although Kant doesn't say so here, but mechanics is of things that change, move, etc., in time and in space. And so both of these are needed for the parts, we could say, or fields of mathematics that include geometry, arithmetic, and pure mechanics here. And so he says, both of these representations, however, are merely intuitions. If we omit from the empirical intuitions or bodies and their alterations, everything empirical belonging to sensation, space and time still remain and are therefore pure intuitions that lie a priori at the basis of the empirical, so they can never be omitted. They can never be left out. We can never say, well, first we have objects, then we have space and time. No, it works the other way around. But by being pure intuitions a priori, they prove they are mere, as he says, forms of our sensibility, which precede all empirical intuitions, and in conformity with which objects can be known a priori, but only as they appear to us. Then he is going to ask about this faculty, this Vermögen. Again, we could think, we can think about it as the what makes something possible. It's faculty of intuiting a priori. And, you know, this concerns only the form, space, and time. These are, as he's going to say, formal conditions, Bedingungen. So what allows things to have their space and time, what conditions them, of our sensibility, of our Sinnlichkeit. So everything that we sort of take for granted in our apprehension of the world, and even our own internal states, which are happening in time as well, space and time have to be, I won't say there, because they are the there and then that are even making are saying, ooh, right there, right there, right there, or right now, right now, right now, possible. And he goes on to say that objects, Gegenstände, the things that we represent to ourselves in space and time, count, gelten, are valuable only, he says, as appearances, or Scheinungen, or as we're going to see, he'll also say representations as well. And so space and time themselves are both intuitions, a priori intuitions, so not regular empirical intuitions, and they are the condition for the possibility of other intuitions, and pure mathematics works, is based upon space and time as a priori intuitions, which can be grasped, constructed synthetically, and which therefore add to our knowledge as we accumulate more and more of it. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.